welcome back to The Trendline from the SiriusXM studios in Washington, D.C. Here's Kristen Soltis Anderson.
I'm joined now by Rich Tao, president of Engages. He's back with another round of his Trump to Biden swing voter focus groups. And this time, he's gone to the great state of Michigan to find his respondents. Rich, thank you so much for joining me. Let's talk about what you found. In these groups, you talk to respondents about the things that they feel about both sides of the political equation. So let's start with Donald Trump and everything that is swirling around him. From these focus groups, to what extent are your respondents paying attention at all to the various indictments and legal challenges swirling around the former president?
Well, they say that they're paying attention. So when you ask them, they'll tell you that they've heard that he's been indicted. They know about that. But when we did our groups, which was after the third indictment, but shortly before the fourth, I asked them, well, what was the most recent indictment about? That one had been about January 6th, in fact. But instead, they told me that it was about things other than January 6th, like Georgia, which hadn't happened yet, or Stormy Daniels, or the Mar-a-Lago documents case. So they are not keeping track. The scorecard is not up to date, if you ask them, but what exactly the most recent development has been in the actual unfolding saga of Donald Trump's indictments.
In your write-up about this at Axios, in their coverage of your focus group, you called it indictment confusion, that they're kind of scrambling all of the different legal challenges facing the president. Let's take a listen to what your respondents had to say about Jack Smith's indictment around former President Trump's attempt to not have the election results counted.
I'm torn on the Georgia or the documents. Okay. It's one of those two. It's either the Georgia thing or the document, like the way the documents were handled.
I thought it was about the whole Stormy Daniels scandal where he gave her $185,000 or something and falsified documents
from the 2020 election and that thing.
Sonny, what was he indicted for?
This last one had to do with the classified documents. And again, back on January 6th.
Okay, was it about classified documents or was it about January 6th?
The information, I think that was withheld, I think that was the latest one on this slew of all the indictments.
Okay, so last week it was about the documents at Mar-a-Lago. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. That's okay. What I think it was. I'm pretty sure that's what it was, Mar-a-Lago and the documents.
Brian, what were you going to say?
There's so many. I thought it was a Georgia overturning of the election.
Now, I kind of sympathize with these folks. I feel like if my job was not literally to cover politics on various media outlets, I might even be a little bit confused. And you could also make the argument, I believe Jack Smith is involved in the documents case as well. Georgia is also about January 6th and the attempts to overturn the election results. So some of this confusion is a little bit understandable. But do you think it at all plays into Trump's hands, the fact that the charges being made against him and what venues he's facing, what charges in, is a little opaque to your average voter?
I think it can play into his hands, especially where it seems like there's a piling on of, the indictment per week type of trend. It doesn't seem like there's going to be a lot more major indictments coming down the pathway, but there could be in specific states. There's still some discussion about that. But yeah, I think it's the constant, are they doing too much? Are they hitting him too many times with too many different charges? And there is, I think there's also a fairness question here too, in terms of my expectation with the respondents. So I was thinking afterwards, asking them what sequence the indictments were unfolding is kind of like asking people sitting at a baseball game, in which inning were which runs scored? Right. I mean, you're paying attention to the game on a certain level, but you haven't memorized that in the first inning there were no runs, second inning there were three, mm-hmm. and so forth. And I think that's kind of what happens with people, is that they kind of just see the totality and they're not paying attention to the specific events as they unfold and sort of memorizing them. They don't see it as a test that they have to study for, and they behave accordingly.
Well, they're right. It's not a test they have to study for. And plenty of voters will sort of pick up their impressions from clips they see on social media, on the news, and form their opinions accordingly. And so I'm curious, from your perception, do these voters have any sympathy for former President Trump's argument that if he wasn't Donald Trump, these charges wouldn't be brought, or that they are being brought and at this particular moment in time for political reasons? Does that argument have any resonance with these voters?
These voters, keep in mind, they all went from Trump to Biden. So they all in some psychological way bailed on him between 2016 and 2020. And nearly all of them would stick with Biden in a Trump to Biden rematch. Only 3 of the 13 in Michigan, for example, would go back to Trump. So the ones who would go back to Trump are the ones who are more sympathetic to the argument that Trump is being railroaded and that it's political. But for the people who would stick with Biden, they don't give Trump any benefit of the doubt. And I think that's the way they generally look at it. And for them, he deserves what he got. The other thing I'll tell you, Kristen, is that for them, the issue with Trump is his overall behavior, way he comports himself with other people, the tweeting. When you ask them what bothers them about him, it's not that he tried to overthrow the government and install himself for a second term. That's not what they complain about. They complain about the fact that he doesn't treat his staff well, that he tweets too much, and that he's too present and he's constantly sharing his thoughts with people all the time. It's the overwhelmingness of Trump. It's not the specific indictments that they tend to cite when they cite what they don't like about it.
Now, for those 3 respondents who are considering gravitating back toward Donald Trump after having left him to vote for Biden in 2020, are they driven more by, you know, any kind of affection for Trump, missing Donald Trump's presidency, or is it more that Joe Biden has failed to meet their expectations and has pushed them back into Trump's arms?
It is the latter. These are people for whom Biden has been a huge disappointment. So by process of elimination, they're going back to Trump. It's not a huge affection for Trump.
What are the biggest disappointments? Is it around the economy? I mean, we see lots of terrible polling about people's assessments of Biden on the economy, but I got to believe it's more than just, you know, eggs are expensive. What's driving this?
It's a few things. One is his performance on the economy, although that's a smaller part of it. If they think he hasn't done anything as president, they haven't heard anything that he's achieved, they can't name anything that he's done, or that he made promises as a candidate in 2020 that he hasn't fulfilled, he hasn't brought us together as a country, that's a concern of theirs. And then most importantly, I would say, is just the worry about his age and his mental acuity. And I think that's been a big issue for a number of these people. I hear it month after month.
Another thing that Republicans think will be a liability for Joe Biden that they intend to hammer on repeatedly is the legal challenges faced by the president's son, Hunter Biden. Let's take a listen to what your respondents had to say about these various scandals swirling around Hunter.
That he is not knowledgeable enough to be making the kind of money he's making, and that he's using his father's name to be involved in things that he shouldn't be involved in.
Wasn't there something, maybe this was a while ago, but I thought he had some level of contracts or something in Ukraine well before Russia invaded. I don't really remember the specifics, but I thought there was something in Eastern Europe he was involved in.
Something with some emails or something like that, but I don't know the extent of it. But I feel like there was this thing that kept coming up, like, but his emails, like check his emails or something like that.
That his son had connections with people in Ukraine and also in China. There was a court hearing talked about how his father was named, connecting him to it, and with the last thing of it getting thrown out.
I've heard more like cocaine being in the White House.
Okay, did you hear that cocaine was specifically Hunter Biden's?
Yes.
Okay, you heard a report specifically tying that to him?
Yes.
So there's clearly a lot of baggage there, but I wonder, from these conversations, do you feel like voters are kind of holding Hunter Biden's conduct against Joe Biden or not?
So it's nuanced. Only 2 of the 13 told us that they thought President Biden himself is corrupt. Only two of them, for example, think we're arming Ukraine because of Biden family connections there. And only two of them think there should be an impeachment inquiry to look at the Biden family's business dealings. But that that they are not opposed to a congressional inquiry. They're opposed to an impeachment inquiry with the goal of trying to remove Biden from office. For them, they're fine having Congress look into Hunter Biden generally and to explore what might be going on and to uncover whatever the truth is about it. And they kind of bring to the conversation the idea that all people who hold this office kind of got there and benefit from the office financially. For them, there's a sort of, you know what, I don't know exactly what Biden did or his son did, but you know what, if they got some money from somewhere that they shouldn't have gotten it, we're not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not walking around with sort of like a, hey, he's corrupt and, you know, we can't trust him because he's corrupt. That's not what they're walking around with. It's their sort of garden variety skepticism about politicians generally that they impose on the Bidens.
Did any of your respondents bring up the story that this wound up kind of blowing up because Maureen Dowd wrote an op-ed about it at the New York Times? Basically, the question of how many grandchildren does Joe Biden have? That for a long time he said, I have 6 grandchildren, and he has said this repeatedly. And of course, we know that Hunter Biden has been involved in a paternity suit. He has a daughter. And for a while, this kind of swirled in the background as like a story nobody wanted to talk about. And finally, Maureen Dowd said, hey, President Biden, if you want to say you're a family guy, you can't just like pretend this little girl doesn't exist. I always thought that that was going to be something that could break through and potentially really hurt Joe Biden's kind of brand as this like nice family guy. Did that come up at all? Or was it that the focus more on kind of the legal challenges Hunter Biden is facing?
So no one brought up the mm-hmm. 7th grandchild question, but I didn't ask.
Okay.
So it's hard for me to draw a firm conclusion based upon what didn't get said.
Got it. Fair enough. Well, let's talk then about someone you did specifically hear about, which is Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. So if we know a lot of these respondents have frustrations with Joe Biden, but they're not necessarily loving Donald Trump, could they go to an alternative? Let's take a listen to what they had to say.
A young, fresh face, young, fresh mind. Like, I think she's done a great job with Michigan. So I think she'd do a good job with the country.
She could unify the country. I think it's possible more than Biden.
I just remember a lot of the infrastructure in terms of how the roads and stuff were set up and how quickly she was able to organize. It seemed like a lot of different, even construction workers and companies, to get a lot of things done in a very short amount of time, which I feel like is something that I would like to be able to get done to the economy. I know that's a harder endeavor, but I kind of want to see that efficiency kind of put towards that.
Because she's a very strong woman and she does get a lot done. She did handle the COVID situation with all hands on deck. And I think she would do a better job than Biden is doing now.
So if you were advising a Democrat who is not Joe Biden, who has eyes on the presidency, but maybe thinks there's no benefit to me actually running right now against an incumbent president, would you tell them, you know what, you may as well just go for it?
Well, let me put this in context. You're teeing up the question very interestingly. So I gave people 3 choices to ask about their governor. The choice one was, you'd like to see a run for president in 2024 instead of Biden. So 5 of the 13 chose that. You heard just now 4 of those 5. They're in that category. Second choice was, you'd like to see her run, but not until 2028. 5 more chose that. And then 3 said, I never want her to run for president. So you had 10 of the 12 who'd like to see her be president someday, only half of them wanting it immediately. The other 5 thinking that she needs more seasoning, more experience, more international experience, that type of thing before she runs. So the positivity is there. I've got to tell you, Kristen, you know, I've been on your show how many times, and all we've talked about is how much people dislike Trump and Biden. To hear people who are so endlessly critical of those two candidates say so many positive things about a politician is really remarkable. And I'm next month, we're doing Pennsylvania. I'm going to be asking all about Josh Shapiro to see whether feelings are similar toward him, because he's been getting a lot of good press in the state of Pennsylvania. But I think these are the rising stars. These are the ones who, even after being reelected like she has, so she's been on the scene for a while. It's not like this is her first year as governor. This is her fifth year as governor. That's a lot of time for people to evaluate her and to have these extremely critical voters tell me that they really would like her to be president is quite a testament to her popularity in the state.
It sure is. Well, I'm sure this is something that we will be talking about, maybe if not in the 2024 cycle, certainly in elections to come. Rich, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.